Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
It pays to serve God. We'll be trying to dissect the benefit of service to God, and then we try to know what service to God means. Somebody who serve is called what? Hello? Somebody who serve is called what? Servant. Let us repeat it so that I'm sure that everybody agrees. Somebody who serve is called what? Servant. A servant, as it were, is not a word that connotes something low or something small. But because of the philosophy of men, men who love to be masters believe that if you are called a servant, that means you have been devalued. But God delights to call us a servant. In fact, one of the greatest introductions of Paul was Paul, the apostle, the servant of God. A servant. Who is a servant of God? You do not have to be a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, a prophet, or a missionary to be a servant of God. Of course, we all know that people that are ordained are servants of God. So you can say servant of God. Your pastor is a servant of God. We all know that. We all know that the ordained are servants of God. We also know that such people are privileged to be called the servants of the Most High God. And it is a blessing to serve your Maker. It is a blessing to serve your Maker. However, the good news is this, that there are other people who are not ministers of the gospel, but they are also servants of God. In fact, the Bible is full of stories of people who were not pastors, they were not priests, they were neither called into any of the fivefold ministry as recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, but yet the Bible referred to them as the servant of God. Some of these men were kings. Some of these men were politicians. Some of these men were businessmen. Some of them were millionaires. Some of them were farmers. Some of them were even non-Jews. In other words, they were Gentiles. But yet, they were all referred to as the servants of God. So that should quickly remove our minds from the servant of God being an ordained person. So you don't need to be ordained to be referred to as a servant of God. The fact that people other than pastors and evangelists are called servant of God has great implications for everyone. Because in the scriptures we are going to see men who were never ordained. They were never anywhere near ordination. But yet, God kept referring to them as his servants. The Bible recorded them as God's servant. So, this has a far-reaching implication for everyone who is a believer today. It simply means that you can also be a servant of God. A banker can be a servant of God. A lawyer can be a servant of God. Because today you hear somebody say, well, me, I'm not a servant of God, I'm just a banker. I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor. And when you talk about servant of God, we are talking about the ordained priest. No. Just like we are going to see shortly from the Bible, those who were not ordained, like Samuel, those who were not ordained, like the 12 apostles, were also referred to as God's servant. A politician can be God's servant. A pharmacist, a tax collector, can be a servant of God. You do not have to be in full-time ministry to be a servant of God. So you do not have to be in full-time ministry. And many times I've said to some people who claim that things are getting very rough for them, things are getting very tough for them, just because they are called and they are not answering the call. And many times when you hear people say, "I'm not answering the call," they are simply referring to not being in full-time ministry. I'd like you to know that being in full-time ministry is not only the way of answering the call of God. In the course of these lessons, we are going to see that some persons are called of God and are given platforms to service that call. Being in full-time ministry as a pastor, pastoring a church, is God's platform to do the work He has given to me. Apart from the fivefold ministry in Ephesians chapter 4, the pastor or the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, and the pastor, those are the fivefold ministry. Those fivefold ministry is a gift of God given to men. The Bible says when He ascended, He did what? He gave to men. Let us read from verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore He said, when He ascended up on high, He left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, verse 9 and verse 10 will describe the gift He's talking about. He said, He gave gift unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it? But that He also descended first into the lower part of the earth. And now look at verse 10. Verse 10 tells you, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And then verse 11, He said, and He gave some apostles. So every time you meet an apostle is a gift of God to men. Praise God. An apostle is not just a human being, but it is a gift of God to men. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, these are the gifts of God to the body of Christ. And verse 12 tells you why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Who are the saints? The saints are the servants of God in different facets of life. But this fivefold ministry will gather the saints together and make them to be able to walk the work of God more efficiently. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And verse 13. Till we all come now. There's something I want to point out here. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what I want to point out here in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith, until Jesus come, we can have unity of faith, but we will never have unity of interpretation of the Bible. I will explain that. Unity of faith means you can believe God for something, I believe God for the same thing, and we get the same result. But we will never come to the unity of interpretation of Scripture. What that means is two persons cannot interpret the Scripture exactly the same way. Amen. It is only when we get to heaven we will go to that point where we have unity of interpretation. So that you will not say, well, this particular scripture, our pastor taught us like this. So because our pastor taught us like this, that can be the only way. No, the scriptures can be revealed in many ways to different people, depending on the context of what God is talking to them about. Amen. The scripture that reproves somebody of sin can be the scripture that somebody takes to get healing. So we will never come to the unity of interpretation. Everybody will not interpret the Bible the same way. But God will always give us interpretation based on our understanding and based on the current circumstances. Until we come to becoming a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. I was trying to explain to us that you do not have to be in the full-time ministry before You are a servant of God. You can be working in any secular field and still be a servant of God. Like I said, when some people say, well, I have a call, and maybe because I'm not answering the call, things are very tough for me. And I said, God, don't expect you to resign from your job and sit down one place and then begin to gather people and pray. Hunger will drive you back to business. Praise God. And you know, some persons have made that mistake. Oh, I went to a place, they carried one big Bible and gave to me. That's prophecy now. Gave you a Bible. And maybe added an hymn book to it. And then you come back home and begin to say, it's like I have a call. Praise God. So the next thing, you are looking for a small primary school to start something. And then you begin to give them. There are some names of churches you see and you know that the person that gave this name didn't pray. Praise God. So it's not good enough to just begin to look for a place and say, wow, I have a call. Let me just begin to gather people and then we pray. And then you do that for 2 years, for 3 years. No food. Things are getting bad. And you are wondering. God has called us to be his servant. And of course, you can serve God from where you are. That orange you are selling, you can be serving God. It is important to take note of all the people God referred to as his servants, so that we will understand that servants of God are not only those that oil is poured on their head. When oil is poured on your head, that means you are separated to do a specific work for God. Now, who is a servant? I want to define a servant as someone who carries out the wishes of another. That's definition is simple enough, I guess. A servant is somebody that carries out the wishes, the desire of another person. A servant is someone who carries out the orders, the wishes, the desire of another. So if you are called a servant, it simply means that you are doing something that another person wants you to do on his behalf. A servant is also somebody who serves the interests of another. Now, take these definitions and understand them. Number one, I said a servant is somebody who carries out the wishes of another. Have you ever heard this word, your wish is my command? How many of us have heard it before? Your wish is my command. In other words, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. I'm alive for your interest. A servant is someone who serves the interest of another. Now, does that mean that a servant on his own does not have interest? He has personal interest. But because he's a servant, he subjugates his own interests under the bigger interest of the person who is sending him. And he does that just exactly what is being sent. So from now onwards, you must consider yourself a potential servant of God. So you are free after today. If you see your brother, he's a servant of God. Praise God. Servant of the Most High God. You are a servant of God. How many of us are happy to be servant of God? I am happy to be servant of God. You know, some people would do anything to be the servant of the president. Praise God. And they serve the interests of the president with the whole of their heart. They can even die for it. So, it is a thing of joy to be considered the servant of God. If somebody say you be boy, and you are a boy in Asu Rock, you just tell the person, complete it, boy for where? Praise God. And you be proud to say, you are the boy there. And we have been called and privileged to be God's servant. I'm sure that we should be happy doing that. A businessman can be a servant of God. A teacher can be a servant of God. You can carry out the wishes of the Almighty God no matter your occupation. Now we are getting down to this. No matter your occupation, you can carry out the wishes of God. I've never met a man who is too brilliant for God to use. You know, there was a time it was believed that to be a Christian, you need to be a dollar. To be a Christian, for you to be born again, that means you must have been frustrated. The people who are Christians are frustrated, jobless people. People who has no value for life. But you know, all of that is no longer like that. Because you've seen God gone out of his way to call the best of the best. And of God's, when God is making a choice, he makes the choice of the best. Praise God. God is looking for the best. No, God is not just looking. He said, because you are a dropout, come. Because you couldn't go to school, come. No. God looks out for the best. And if he brings you, he makes you the best. Nobody ever sets out to do something with people who are not the best. King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 1 had to select the best good-looking Jewish boys to train them and then make them officers in the province. So you can carry out the wishes of the Almighty God regardless of your occupation. You don't say, well, I'm the most brilliant in my class. It can't be me that is born again. Born again are for those who don't know anything in school. So they have big Bibles and they have very low grades in class. Praise God. It's not like that today. Those who are the best in their classes are those who are the children of God. And you know, God wants us to be like that because God doesn't take glory in failure. Amen. So, wherever you are, whatever you do, understand that you can serve God. You know, Esther became the queen and suddenly forgot that she could still serve the interests of God until Mordecai reminded her and said, who knows whether it was for such a time as this that God sent you to become the governor, the president, the vice president, and all of that. Now take note of this. The greatest job you could ever do is to be a servant of God. I like that. The greatest job you could ever do is to be the servant of God. Somebody wrote a song and said, there is no higher calling. There is no higher calling than the call to be God's servant. That's the greatest job you can ever do. The greatest job you can be involved in or be involved with is to be servicing kingdom interest. That regardless of your career, you are being seen servicing kingdom interest. You have not become too busy for God to use. You've not become too involved or too engaged for God to use. Whether you become a governor, you are still God's servant. You are still serving the interest of the kingdom. And we need to learn it from here so that when we become big, our bigness will not stop us from serving God. Praise God. Brethren, I tell you the truth, I lie not. I've seen big people serving God and serving God genuinely. They put down everything they have and everything they are, knowing that before they became anything, God made them. So they serve kingdom interest. Today we have people that as soon as their salary increases, God can no longer get their attention. As soon as they change accommodation and live in a bigger place, God can no longer have their attention. As soon as they have a better job, God can no longer have their attention. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not pastors, but God referred to them as his servants. Yeah. There is never a place that Abraham was ordained. He was just a farmer. Jacob, Isaac, they were never pastors. But every time God referred to them as his servant. I'm sure you would like to think of Abraham as a pastor. But Abraham was never a pastor. Abraham is not categorized amongst the priests, amongst the prophets. He was simply a friend of God. God called him my servant. So where you are, you don't need to have an ordination. You can just be God's servant. And God is so much in love with you. God is so much interested in you. You know, sometimes in church we believe that God likes the pastors more than the members. Amen. You know, sometimes we believe that God is closer to a pastor more than he is closer to a member. But that's not the truth. Praise God. God is only committed to a pastor because of the assignment he gave to him. But the interest of God over every other person is the same as it is in the pastor. But the difference is like, you have a father and he has five of you. Your father is rich. And all of you are the children of a very wealthy father. And your father has security men working with him. And out of the five of you, one day, he calls one of you and said, I want to give you 1 million or any amount. Go to so-so-so location and give it to this person. Because he's sending you on that errand. He asks you to drive his personal vehicle. Or his driver to drive you in his own vehicle. And then he asks two of the army or two of the soldiers to accompany you. How many of you are looking at what I'm saying? Now, he asks two of his army to accompany you. His driver is driving you. And you are going. Now, if somebody sees you, they may be thinking you are the most favorite of your father. Otherwise, why will you be driving in his car? His driver driving you, and then two soldiers with you. The truth is that it's not because your father loves you more than your other sibling, but because of the assignment he has given to you to discharge, he needs to give you those things so that you can be able to do that assignment well. Now, that's what happens between God and his anointed ones, the pastors. He gives them a specific assignment, and then because of that assignment, there are certain things that goes with that assignment. Like in offices, there's what is called impress. Impress is a certain amount that is carved out for the day-to-day running of the activity of the office within a particular period of time. Praise God. And most times, people are not expected to give account for impress. Just like in our nation today, there's what is called security vote. Now, security vote can be so much of money, so much of money, so much money. But the governor, the local government chairman, the president, the senator is not expected to give account for his security vote. It's just something that you are given to be able to do your work very well. So, everybody generally is God's servant. Like I said, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob were never pastors, but God referred to them as his servant. Abraham was simply a servant of God. You may also consider Moses a pastor. But you know, Moses was not a pastor. He was simply a national leader of God's people. Moses was the first president of Israel, as it were. Praise God. He was their first national leader. So he wasn't a pastor per se. He wasn't a priest per se. You remember that Aaron, his brother, was ordained as the priest. Amen. So if Aaron is referred to as a priest, what will Moses be referred to? And the priest was the highest religious office in their day. And Aaron is the priest. So Moses is not a priest. Moses is just a national leader. President, governor, you may like. But yet, God referred to him as his servant. God referred to King David as his servant. How many of us know that? He said, I have found David, my servant. David was a king. David was not a pastor. So are you a king? You can be a servant of God. Are you a traditional ruler? You can be a servant of God. And let me say this. You know, sometimes we in the Pentecostal believe that there are certain positions a true child of God should not hold. But the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. If indeed You have come to that point where they say, come and be our paramount ruler. You can become a paramount ruler and a different paramount ruler. I hear of a particular paramount ruler. There are a few of them like that, that doesn't do libation. Praise God. From the day he was coronated, he refused everything traditional, everything they used to do for other. No. Rather, he brought in pastors to do his coronation. And he's still a paramount ruler till today. A Christian paramount ruler. So you can do your libation with the Bible. Praise God. So you understand that David was just a king. And God referred to him as my servant. So are you a king? You can actually be God's servant. We pray for that day where we have a president, a governor who is a Christian, and a Christian indeed. I'm not just talking about a Christian by religion. I mean born again, Holy Ghost filled, and it's a governor. And I can bet you that whichever state is ruling, we have more children of God. Praise God.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Room of Mercy, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.